No one brings to life the remarkable bond between humans and their dogs quite like New York Times bestselling author John Katz. He has gained great readership with enchanting tales and keen observations of his animal menagerie, the dogs, the sheep, the chickens, the donkeys, dot, dot, dot. All those residents of Bedlam Farm. Now he is back with his brand new book, The Second Chance Dog, A Love Story. With a signature insight and gift for storytelling, John explores the power of second chances for both people and dogs. And it is a great pleasure to celebrate the release of the new book, as he has done for so many of his books, to come here to kick off the book tour. And it's always a delight to have John in our studio. Thank you very much for being here.
Good to be with you again. Feels very comfortable.
Yes, it's so nice to have you here. Red is here as well. And
at your feet, dozing.
At my feet, and a beautiful, beautiful dog. You're up to how many now?
How many books?
Dogs.
Oh, three dogs. I have three dogs.
All right.
I have Lenore.
Yep.
I have Frida.
Yep.
And Red.
So this particular book is about Frida.
Yep.
And is the second chance dog. Well, tell us a little bit about, before we talk about the book specifically, tell us about how you got Frida, how that happened.
Frida, a.k.a. the Hell Dog. We know that she's known as the Hell Dog and the Dog Who Kept Men Away, the two titles she had. Well, Frida was actually, it's interesting because doing the book and because of my blog, I was able to trace her life. Frida was raised in South Glens Falls, was purchased in the Adirondacks, a Rottweiler Shepherd mix. And was raised as a guard dog for an auto body shop, a junkyard, and was trained that way very roughly to protect fences, as those dogs are. And she got out and got herself pregnant, and the owner took her up on the thruway and dumped her off in Warrensburg, abandoned her in the Adirondacks, where she lived for several years in the wild. She was eventually made her way to Queensbury, was captured by the SPCA there after a year-long pursuit, in which she thwarted them at almost every turn, and then was there for months while all kinds of sane people came in and did not adopt her, until one day Maria Wolf, an artist, walked in there and thought she was adorable and just took her home.
Yeah.
And they basically said, here, you just take her. We don't need to do the questions or anything. Yeah, so we don't care if you have a fence. Just take
the dog.
And she did, and Maria thought she was adorable. Then, of course, I was up on Bedlam Farm, and we got to be friends. We met each other. We both were divorced, had a rough year or two. And then I fell in love with Maria, and I wanted her to live with me and marry me. But there was the question of Frida, who did not care for me or other people or children or anything that moved. And so my issue was I knew Maria wasn't coming without Frida, so we had to work it out. And we did. And so that book tells the story. Really, it's about second chances for the three of us.
Yeah.
And about finding love at any age, and about happy endings, which is nice to write a book with happy endings. People say, does a dog die? No. It's great to write a book where no dog dies. Or I'm not telling people things they don't want to hear, you know?
It's no, like, it's all good stuff. All well, good it stuff. Says it's a love story. It is, and it's very much a love story.
It's very much a love story. And between me and Frida, and me and Maria, and Frida and Maria, they were like Thelma and Louise, those two. They were two man-hating outcasts. And I had to deal with both of them, which was...
Yeah, one easier than the other, it seems, in reading the book.
Yeah, I think one easier, but neither one easy. But the challenge for Frida, Frida's a lot of dog. You know, a year or so ago, I came out of the house at the farm, and she was sitting on a deer. She'd run down a deer and was sitting on it. She didn't hurt it. She just ran it down. So dealing with a dog like that, you know, I've avoided dogs like that my entire life.
Right.
Successfully. I have sweet dogs, you know, from breeders. Yeah. They come in here and sit at your feet. Frida was a lot of dog. She really challenged me in a lot of ways, in terms of patience, frustration, how to get through to her, how to communicate. We kept her in the barn for a year because she was trying to kill everything on the place. And I launched what I call the beef jerky campaign, which I describe in the book. I would go in there with a bag of beef jerky, throw it at her, and run.
Yeah.
Just get out in time.
Which is hilarious, because it's just...
It was, yeah. And while she... I wasn't laughing at the time, but in retrospect, it's like...
Yeah, well...
No, it's a
good story.
It's a good story.
Yeah.
And I was aware of it at the time. I thought, if I survive this, this will be a great book.
And you're spending, what, a couple $100 on beef jerky?
A lot of money, more than that. $500 or $600. This was a lot. You know, and dogs are dogs. We've talked about this many times. my reasoning was, okay, if you throw beef jerky at a dog long enough, sooner or later, they'll come to like you.
Right.
Labs have taught me this.
Yeah.
And she didn't exactly come to like me, but it was 6 months before I could put a collar, a leash on her. She would take my arm in her mouth and hold it.
Yeah.
And decide whether to tear it off or not. And she didn't, blessedly. She never hurt me. She could have hurt me. And it also was interesting. You know, I really was forced to really think about training. You know, we've talked about training quite a bit. I was really, surprisingly, a revelation for me was reading Annie Sullivan's writings on dealing with Helen Keller.
Mm-hmm.
About how she wrote obedience is the gateway to training and to education. And the breakthrough for me with Frida came when she was pulling me into the forest. She was chasing something out there, and I kicked her. I didn't mean to kick her, my foot just to stop her. And she stopped and looked at me like, oh, I have to pay attention to you, I guess. That was the window that turned the corner. I was able to begin calming training, begin obedience training, to begin communicating with her. But you know me, I'm not the world's most patient person. I can get frustrated pretty easily. So I had to overcome that. It was crucial to overcome that with her. And it was about a year or two. I wanted her to get in the house by Christmas Eve.
Mm.
She was in the barn, and Maria hated having her in the barn. We would haul firewood all night to the wood stove to keep her warm and blankets. And it was ridiculous. And I had this, I couldn't bring her because she was horrible with the other dogs who tried to go after them. And I had this dream one night that we were in the Adirondacks where she had been abandoned, and she was walking alongside of me. Then I came to this clearing and she was sitting there, and I heard this voice say, I said, what do I have to do? What do I have to do to get through to you? What do I have to do to get you into the house? And I heard this voice say, trust me. It wasn't her voice. It was just a voice. This was a dream. But I woke up thinking, wow, that's the one thing I hadn't done. I hadn't really trusted her. The only thing I hadn't tried. So I just walked her into the house on Christmas Eve before Maria got home from work, opened the door, and my three dogs were standing there glowering at her, and she was glowering at them. And then she saw the wood stove, and she went in and lay down.
Mm.
Maria came home and burst into tears. I said, I've got the girl. I got the girl. I did it. I got the girl. So it was great. It was a great experience for me, a wonderful experience.
One of the fascinating things about the book, I found was that it's the relationship, your relationship with the dog, but also the dog's relationship with Maria, which was much different because to Maria, this dog was very sweet,
yeah,
very, very much, you know, at her side and very loyal and almost a protector.
A protector for sure.
So you're also dealing with someone else's perception of the dog, which is you're trying to do one thing, but the dog is obviously reacting much differently to the, yes, other person in your life.
Well, Maria still thinks Frida is the cutest dog that ever lived. Like, she's a little teddy bear.
Yeah.
No, I've never heard anyone say Frida was adorable ever. I've never heard the word used in conjunction with her.
Well, I have to say, you know, having visited the farm and been there, your dogs are always very, I was going to say calm, but not necessarily calm, but they're always controlled.
Yeah.
You know, very controlled. And I remember the first time I met Frida, it was just like in the front and it was just like running around and like everything else was going around. And then there was this sort of circus act in the front.
That's Frida. That would be Frida.
Yeah. Yeah.
That would be Frida. Well, Frida, you know, Frida is the key to Frida was prey drive. You know, the relationship with Maria and Frida.
That must have driven you nuts.
It drove me nuts. it was one of the most powerful things I've ever seen. They just adore each other. And she was a protector. You know, I always said, you get the dog you need.
Right.
At that point in Maria's life, that's what she needed. She needed a protector.
Yeah.
And Frida is a guard dog. She is still a guard dog. And anyone, you know, who came near the fence, who drove by, you know, Frida goes out and chases something. She brings it back. You know, children, motorcycles,
right,
cars, whatever.
Whatever happens.
And so there was this issue of control, for sure. But also, I was studying prey drive a lot while training her. And, you know, dogs like Labs, Border Collies, there are five stages to prey drive. And the last two or three have been bred out of those dogs, the bite and kill. So like Red, who is like a little wolf, you know, he'll chase the sheep, but he won't attack them or kill them. Frida has all five, and she was a hunter, and she lived that way for years. So it's interesting. You know, she then also, I think, as my relationship with Maria deepened, as we got married, as we lived together, then Maria needed her to be something else, and she became something else. She became a protector of all of us. When I write now, Frida sits outside of my study with her paws crossed, and she protects me. And nobody bothers me either, I have to say.
Yeah, well, and so are you, what is the relationship like now? I mean, you've come to the terms, or do you feel that there's more work to be done?
There's not too much more work to be done. I think Frida's, you know, it's a point with the dog where you sort of have to accept what they are, and you want to protect Frida from certain situations. Where she's going to get excited. She basically has a fence by the farm, and she protects us from trucks now. That's her big thing. Make sure no trucks come on. Yeah, we live on Route 22.
Right.
So a lot of trucks, and so she patrols vigorously against the trucks. She's great with the other dogs. She's great in the house. She's really good with people. I'm bringing her to my reading tonight for the first time. We'll see what happens there.
I was going to ask you about that. Yeah.
Right. I think it's time. I feel like strongly that this book, she deserves to be there. You know, she sparked it, and I'm confident about her. As long as nobody brings a poodle or something in, we're in good shape, or some meat. I wouldn't bring her if I wasn't sure about it.
Both are possibilities. Both are possibilities. Aren't
they? Yeah. Well, you know, she doesn't like to be touched, but she's very comfortable. We've had some open houses at the farm, and I've walked her around. And as long as she's with me and Maria, she's just fine. And I think she's evolved tremendously. You know, she's just very much under control. She had never been trained, so she never had that arousal checked. She never had the prey drive checked. If we had gotten to her earlier, you know, Maria pretty wisely kept her from people, kept her away from things, didn't want her to get in trouble, didn't want anybody to get hurt. So she never had the chance really to be socialized. She never really had the chance to be around people. So I look for opportunities to do that and being thoughtful about it. She's never hurt anybody, you know, and she could have. She never hurt me, and she could have. I always had confidence in her. She's a great, big-hearted dog. And she's also opened me up to the kind of dog I would not have, and also to not quitting. I mean, for me, the big story in the book is about people as well as her. You know, I'm in my 60s, and a lot of people give up on love at that point in life, and I was having a tough time. I'd gotten divorced. I had not had love in my life for a while, and I needed it. And I remember when the first time you ran into me on the street, I was with Maria. And you took me aside and said, I've never seen you look so happy.
Yeah.
And it's true. I think the opening up of the relationship opened me up to Frida and many other things as well. And one of the messages for me is to not give up on love, not give up on that in your life. You know, I just was in New Jersey doing a TED Talk, and my TED Talk was on creative aging. And I wrote this manifesto on creative aging. And the number 10 was don't give up on love, period. Just don't give up on it. And don't give up on and Frida. That was part of it, too.
The name of the new book is The Second Chance Dog, A Love Story. It is it's being published today. Today is
this
the
is
release date. And there's going to be a big kickoff party tonight at Battenkill Books in Cambridge, New York. And you can go to battenkillbooks.com to find out more information about that event. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we will talk a little bit about that, as well as more about the book and John and Frida and beautiful Red, who is at my feet. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC. Welcome back to The Roundtable. John Katz is our guest. A delight to have him here as we celebrate the release of his brand new book, which is called The Second Chance Dog, A Love Story. And there's going to be a book launch, part of the Curiosity Forum at Battenkill Books tonight. And you'll get to meet John and Maria and Frida and the whole gang.
Too.
And
maybe
be Red, too. It'll all
bring
be
a donkey.
There.
I might bring a donkey.
Yeah, don't bring a donkey. It's
what do you have against donkeys?
I don't have anything against donkeys. I was just thinking of Connie.
Oh, Connie.
Doing it at Battenkill Books.
Just bring a shovel.
First time I walked into the bookstore, the beautiful store, gorgeous. Brady's a pup. I bring Brady in, and Brady goes right in front of the
dumps right in the place.
Yeah, right in the front. I was like so embarrassed because we just like had gone outside and everything was fine.
She had another dog do that a few weeks ago. The dog took a dump right in her doorway.
Yeah, and she was so great about it. She just brought out some cleaning solution.
Well,
I can
assure you my dogs would not dump.
Well, no, I know. And she was just so great. Anyway, it's tonight and it's at 7 o'clock and it's Bat and Kill Books and you're going to be at North Shore tomorrow night.
North Shore in Saratoga.
So, a lot going on for you, and I was going to ask you. I was thinking about this. You touch on it a little bit, but this is a Rottweiler Shepherd mix, and you know, genetics play a little part of this,
yeah.
Don't they?
Yeah. Well, she was purchased from a junkyard breeder in the Adirondacks. She's breeding these guard dogs, and you know, those are two very loyal, very obedient, very great breeds. But like a lot of breeds, if they're not trained properly, raised properly, bred properly, they have a lot of instincts that need to be controlled. Frida's a dog who has encouraged her entire life to have this unchecked arousal and prey drive. You know, they train those dogs to guard fences by banging on the fences and getting them excited and getting them crazy. And so even today, when somebody approaches the fence, that's when Frida might lose it, throw herself against the fence. Then, of course, she was in the Adirondacks hunting for several years. And when we first got Frida, Frida would disappear, would take off, would pull the leash out of your hands, disappear for 7 or 8 hours, come back with, you know, blood dripping from her jowls. You know, she would catch things. She would dive into a hole and come up with baby rabbits. And those prey drive traits had never been curbed in her. And Maria loved her dearly, but was not into training a dog and didn't know quite how to do it. I didn't really either. You know, I think it took a lot of thinking. And of course, I have advantages. You know, I do this. I'm working at home. I'm available. You know, I could train her. A lot of people can't do that. So it was a very powerful experience for me. It just transformed much of what I thought about dogs. I would not have thought it possible to bring Calm Frida down like that. I would have thought she was a lost cause. And I was so motivated because I just couldn't bear the thought of Maria being separated from her. That would have been horrible for both of them. I just couldn't bear that. I thought that just could not happen. So that kind of, and I think that motivation was very important. I think when you train a dog, so many people train dogs, but they don't really mean it. You know, right. They're trying, and maybe it works, maybe it doesn't. But the stakes were high, so I really meant it. And I think I communicated that to her. I would actually talk to her in that barn. I would say, "Look, you and I have got to work this out. It's got to work." And she would look at me, and I had always had the sense. I know she didn't understand the language, but I always got the sense she was sort of getting my meaning. Like she had to deal with me. And once you got into that window and you could widen it, we really started making some great progress. I remember the day I walked her across the street, and you remember Rose, you knew Rose.
Yeah.
Rose and Frida were like loggerheads. They just despised each other. And I had Frida lie down. And while Rose was challenging her and just stay still for a couple of minutes. And that was when I knew it was possible. I knew it was going to be possible. And that's what happened.
And the Frida's on the cover of the book. A beautiful dog.
She's a beautiful dog. And a dog with a great, great heart.
Yeah.
She's just a great-hearted dog. I've really come to love her. And we still have occasionally an uneasy relationship when she gets excited. But not too bad anymore.
Well, this is what I'm asking. So, like, why do you – I know we were joking. Why do you create a situation where, like, you say, all right, well, let's bring a donkey? Like, isn't that just going to, like, aren't you just asking for trouble?
No, I love to do that. It's a great challenge to do that. I mean, I'm not going to bring a donkey.
No, I know that. As I said, I know it's a joke.
But I also think it's challenges. You challenge yourself, you know, to do things. It forces you to be better. You know, Frida has made me such a better person in many ways because I've raised the bar. I said, okay, I'm going to do this. When I walked her around the open house the first time, there were 600 people there. Some people thought I was crazy.
Thanks for that, by the way. Right. Slowing down 22. It takes me forever to get to the burger den.
As long as you don't do it recklessly. I'm not going to keep you from the burger den.
But yeah, so you have all those people and then it puts it. I mean, there's a pressure, I would think.
It makes me very conscious of training her and knowing
you
her.
And on the dog.
I don't think on her. I wouldn't do that to her. We had her walking on the open house. She sat down next to me. She's a very grounded dog. These are two powerful working breeds. They love to work with people. They love to do work. They just don't always know what the work is. I had to show her the work wasn't chasing things and killing them. The work was being in control and learning to live safely with us. If you don't do that, you can never show them. You can never teach them to do it. And that's how they learn, I think, if you're on top of it.
And it's something I asked you this before about, and you said you didn't think you had that much work, but there's always staying on top of it.
There's always staying on top of it, and always remembering she's a dog with a lot of prey drive. Is always, keeping her out of situations that might get her into trouble.
Yeah,
and protecting other people. I had went through this, as you know, with Orson. I'm not going to have a dog again who's going to hurt anybody.
Yeah,
that's not going to happen again, and it's never happened with Frida. So I have a lot of confidence in her. She's going to do well.
And that's what's so lovely about the story.
Thank you.
Yeah,
thank you.
It's a beautiful book. It's called The Second Chance Dog. It is a love story. John is going to be doing the kickoff tonight. The big book launch party will be at Battenkill Books tonight at 7 o'clock. It's a free event. And you can give him a call. It's 518-677-2515. 518-677-2515. Or you can just check him out at battenkillbooks.com and reserve your copy or find out just RSVP for the event.
Bring your dogs and cows, donkeys to the backyard. Put them in the back. Just kidding.
Plenty of room down there.
Yeah, Connie loves livestock. She loves
yes,
livestock. And she has a shovel. She has a shovel there.
I'll bring Brady down.
Bring
It'll
Brady
be,
down.
Be quite a party. That'll be great. Tonight, 7 o'clock, Battenkill Books. And again, the new book, which we're very excited about, is The Second Chance Dog, A Love Story. I always love having you here. It's always a delight to see you. And it means so much to me that you come here and to kick off everything.
I would not miss it.
First.
I would miss the first time.
Love it. Thank you very much. John Katz, be well.
Thank
My
you,
love
sir.
To everyone. Thank
Thanks
you.
Thank you.
The Second Chance Dog, A Love Story is published by Ballantine Books. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.